niggas linking up. Trail niggas linking up. Link up, my nigga, let's link up.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Link Up. We got a lot on deck, a lot in store. I know I said that kind of messed up, but it's okay. I'm just excited right now. I'm pumped up. It's your boy, your host, Ron the Don. And as always, my co-host for A Week in Wrestling, Anthony Edwards, number one fan, Mr. All In, Allen Zander, ladies and gentlemen.
No comment. Let's carry on. Carry on, man.
Man, we got a jam-packed episode today, ladies and gentlemen. The world of wrestling was on fire all weekend long. So we're going to get straight into it, starting with Friday Night SmackDown. Now, this was a show leading up to the King and Queen of the Ring event in Saudi Arabia. And I just want to say, first and foremost, I told y'all, this man said Bianca Belair, I told y'all who was going to Saudi Arabia, Nia Jax. She advanced to the finals of the Queen of the Ring tournament, and we're going to get into
it. Now, let me stop you right there. Hold on. Because technically, Bianca did go to Saudi Arabia. She just didn't win. She just didn't win the tournament. So, go ahead.
I mean, we caught you in 4K, bro. It ain't no other way around it. We caught you in 4K, bro. I'm just saying, bro. I had my predictions was clean, but I'm just saying.
Hey. It's all good, bro.
But. And then on top of that, we had just more development in the whole LA Knight versus Carmelo Hayes, which is definitely going to be, one of those rivalries to look forward to. And the other notable thing was the main event on SmackDown. We had Randy Orton versus Tama Tonga in the semifinals of the King of the Ring tournament, which this was interesting because before the match, Tama Tonga declared that he was going to be King of the Ring by orders of the tribal chief. So that's something to look, forward to in that story. But even though he said that he wasn't able to get it done, Randy Orton came out on top with the 1-2-3. And as they tried to jump him after the match, we got a return of Kevin Owens, who came back, from injury from his beatdown at the hands of the Bloodline. So that was Friday Night SmackDown. Anything that stood out to you on that show?
I'd say the return of Kevin Owens, that kind of, had a little shock factor to it. Because, they had sidelined him for a little bit, but him coming back kind of, gave aid to Randy Orton when he needed it. So it kind of, I'm kind of liking where this is going with this whole Randy Orton and Kevin Owens thing with their tag team forming and stuff. You can go so many ways with this. You can potentially have a heel turn by either one, honestly, if it comes down to it, down the line. I'm not saying right now because they beat with the Bloodline, so. Yep. But you can do so much with that tag team alone as it is. So I'm just glad to see. I'm just going to wait and see what happens with them.
WWE was live in Saudi Arabia this past Saturday. An event full of events. Like I was saying earlier, Cody Rhodes, they showed him pulling up to the arena. They was kind of foreshadowing the possibility of him versus Randy Orton type thing. So that might be something to look forward to down the line. Randy Orton heel turn, it could be in the works. Who knows? But the night started off with the Women's World Heavyweight Championship match between Becky Lynch versus Liv Morgan. And if you was watching last week's episode, did I call it or what? I told y'all that boy Dominic Mysterio was going to find his way into Saudi Arabia and cost Becky Lynch that match. And with that, we ended up with a new World Women's Champion with Liv Morgan. She gained another piece in a revenge tour. What was your thoughts on that match, knowing everything going in to how it ended?
Now, see, a lot of people would say that Dominic interfering was accidental, or some, you got some that say accidental, or some that says it's on purpose. I think it's leading to a whole, thing of them doing it on purpose, but he's trying to make it look like it's an accident, you know what I mean? Because Like, it just that whole situation it just didn't sit well. Like, even the whole backstage segment when he was like, "Oh, I came all the way down here to make sure that you don't touch the title." Yeah, we ain't nobody falling for that, bro.
We know the real you, dog. We know the real you. Any man that turned on his father is not to be trusted, bro. I'm gonna say it to you right now. But you know, after that match, we got the triple threat Intercontinental Championship match between Sami Zayn, the champion, Chad Gable, the challenger, and Bronson Reed, the challenger. And, you know, I give credit where credit is due. My boy Xander said on the pod last week that Otis was going to cost Chad Gable the match, and that's exactly what happened. Otis refused to get involved, hit Sami Zayn. He ultimately ended up hitting Chad Gable, which allowed Sami to capitalize and retain as your Intercontinental Champion. Any thoughts on this match? Anything that stood out to you from here? You was right.
Now, people are probably going to most likely agree with me on this, but that right there, that match was match of the night. My surprise is they had Bronson Reed take the pin.
Yeah.
Now, me personally, I would have had Chad Gable take the pin to kind of like progress this whole thing about how, like, how Sami Zayn, know how Chad Gable can't beat Sami Zayn in a sense. It kind of adds more to that story. But to have Bronson Reed take that pin was pretty interesting, in my opinion. But overall, that was like, that for me was match of the night. That was a banger of a match.
It definitely was a good match. I 10 out of 10 would, you know, suggest if you was to go back and watch any match, it would be that. And it would be this next one that I'm about to mention. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a new queen of the ring. Miss Nia Jax winning the Saudi Arabia. My pick, by the way, beat Lyra Valkyria. And she did it in epic fashion. That Annihilator at the end was crazy. Like, I'm not surprised. Like, how does she not have a broken rib? You know, I got a question. Like, being that you in training, how do you even prepare to take a move like that, bruh? Like, that move was crazy.
Yeah, I've never taken nothing like that before, I tell you that. Only thing I really taken somewhere close to that is, like, I wouldn't say like a clothesline, but like a splash in the corner. That's really the closest thing I've gotten to that. And even that doesn't feel good. Like, you have to make sure the timing is perfect on that. So I'm pretty sure in that aspect, they had to make sure that everything was on point. But I'm pretty sure she still came out fine. Like, it just looked bad, but I'm pretty sure she's straight. But that match, I told you last week that match was going to pretty much be the showcase for NXT, and that did that exactly what I was saying. Like, it literally did that. That showcase what? So it didn't make her weak at the end of the day. Like, it doesn't make her losing the way she lost. It didn't make her look weak in any form fashion. So I think she got good things coming, like, later on down the line in her career.
I definitely agree. I definitely think a lot of people came out of this tournament a Lyra Valkyria fan. Like, one thing you know for sure. She can put on great matches. You know, I thought that was a good match, you know, personally. And I just want to take a second and give Nia Jax her flowers, man. Like, you know, I know amongst the IWC, she wanted the most hated, you know, known for always injuring, you know, people. But ever since she came back to WWE, this run that she's been on as of late, it's been, you know, she's been putting out bangers. You know, she's been doing her thing, man. You know, from that match, main event in Australia with Rhea, to now winning the Queen of the Ring tournament, to then going on, you know, SummerSlam in August, challenge for the WWE Women's Championship. You know, it's beautiful to see, especially for somebody like Nia.
Or, in her case, how she put it at the Queen of the Ring, she was saying she's going for the WWE Championship. I don't know if you caught that when she was cutting a little promo in the ring. She said she's going for the WWE Championship, which I'm pretty sure was a box, but it was just like, it's just like fun to pick at that. You know what I mean?
I mean, if it wasn't, that'd be funny. Cody versus Nia.
But yeah, man, as far as Nia Jax, she definitely is, in my book, most improved player of the year for sure. Like, she went from, like you were saying, people not liking her, how she was in the ring and stuff. I think her getting released was that wake-up call. You know what I mean? She was like, all right, let me get my stuff together. She probably went back, trained, Dawes, stuff like that. And then under the tutelage of Triple H, you know, she gonna be, you know, picking his brain and stuff and trying to, like, you know, see what's good and see what's not. So, I mean, honestly, that, yeah, she definitely did improve as far as that aspect goes. From literally not knowing what to do with her to main eventing Raw, main eventing PLEs overseas, and now Queen of the Ring. Like, what more can you ask for in that aspect? Like, come on.
You know, I know she's been doing a great job, and I see, you know, dare I say, I see a WWE Women's Championship in her future, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If it's not now, it's definitely going to be about a year, years down the line. Definitely. But I wouldn't be mad they put the trigger now, honestly, at SummerSlam. I wouldn't even be tripping. Like, hey, I mean, if you ask me, after that main event she had at Elimination Chamber in Australia, yeah, that kind of showed me right there. Yeah, she ready for it. If they gave it to her, she ready for it.
It's that time. I also, you know, I wouldn't mind her somehow joining the Bloodline too. In a way, you know, that'd be dope.
Nah, let's not get too ahead of ourselves now. One thing at a time. One thing at a time. All right, what you got next, man?
But next was the King of the Ring tournament finals, which to me, this was match of the night, because there was various points in this match where I thought it was going to be over, but it just wasn't so. Like I said before, they kind of teased that it looked like Randy Orton might have won. You know, he met Cody when he came to the building, maybe setting up something for them down the line. But in this match, Randy Orton versus Gunther came out on top as your new King of the Ring, and he will challenge for the World Heavyweight Championship at SummerSlam in Cleveland this year. What's your thoughts on Gunther winning, first and foremost, and his potential to be World Heavyweight Champion by the time the end of summer rolls around?
All right, so let me start off with the match first. So as far as the match, this is kind of ties in as to why I said the Sami Zayn match was match of the night. That match would have been match of the night for me if it wasn't for the finish.
Yeah.
The finish was a little sloppy, in my opinion. It kind of was just like, it kind of made me think that Randy Orton was like hurt. Like, he was hurt, like real hurt. Like, no kayfabe. He was like actually hurt. So that right there was kind of like, but it was still a good match, though. Like, you know, they, like, okay, so the right result, just poor execution. Right. But it was still, they got their point across in the ring. But them two, it was the first time I ever met. So you never know. You might have matches down the line. And as far as Gunther being world champion, there's no doubt about it. That man's got world champion written all over him at the end of the day. It's just, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when with Gunther. Because this run he's on, it's like, you really just can't, like, I don't know what it is about these heels right now, man, but these heels are, like, making you, like, want to, like, you know, like, vote for them and, like, you know, like, get behind them and stuff. Like, I'm like, dang.
They definitely got the industry in a chokehold right now.
Yeah.
Like, speaking of the World Heavyweight Championship, we had a huge announcement at the PLE. It's going to be Damian Priest versus Drew McIntyre. In June, at Clash at the Castle in Drew's hometown. So that was a big matchup announced. So it's interesting to see how that one was going to play out. And then there was also another huge announcement in 2026. SummerSlam will be extended to 2 nights, not just one, but 2 nights when they go to Minneapolis. Your thoughts on SummerSlam being extended to 2 nights?
I'm not a fan. I am not a fan, and I'm just going to tell you why. I was already not a fan with the WrestleMania being 2 nights, but I kind of understood, you know, the concept with COVID and everything. You want to kind of, like, you know, give people a chance to watch it, you know what I mean? But it's just the 2 nights for SummerSlam, it kind of takes away from the 2 nights of WrestleMania now. Because I started getting used to the 2 nights of WrestleMania, you know what I mean? I actually got forward to, okay, we're going to see one half of WrestleMania on Saturday and another half on Sunday. But now with SummerSlam, it's kind of making it seem like a WrestleMania Junior now, which I know SummerSlam's always been seen as like a WrestleMania Junior, but it just kind of takes away from the feeling. Like, that's just my opinion though, but I don't know. Maybe it might be something. Like, honestly, the good thing that you can take away from it is the fact that it gives more people to be on the card. It gives more people an opportunity to be on the SummerSlam card. So in that aspect, yes, that's good. But as far as like pretty much the prestige that it takes away from WrestleMania, yeah, I'm not kind of feeling that. But I don't know. I guess we gotta see.
I mean, initially, I felt the same way as you. I felt like, you know, dang, it's kind of gonna take away from, you know, the greatness of WrestleMania, like the hype of WrestleMania. But then I started thinking about it. You know, one, like, SummerSlam is in that, like, big four, quote unquote, is actually, like, you know, number two.
Yeah.
I would say. And, you know, people get bored after like 3 hours, so, or 4 hours. You know, you don't want to keep a show going. So I think that's one reason, you know, they did it. Another reason was obviously to make more money. You know, that's always going to be what it is. And then the third and final reason, it was rumored that before Las Vegas, that WrestleMania 41 was going to be in Minnesota. And then, like, Las Vegas hooped in and got it. So I think this was kind of like their, all right, we're going to give this to you instead kind of thing.
You know what? Now I'm thinking about it. You're right.
Yeah.
But then again, they might make this into a trend going forward. You know what I mean? So, like I said, we'll have to just wait and see, because it could be a one-off, or it could just be going on, you know, like as the years go. So I don't know.
Definitely, it's definitely a wait and see. I just hope, you know, it goes good and it's not like dragging on.
Yeah.
But to wrap up King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring, we had our main event, which featured United States champion Logan Paul challenging for the WWE Undisputed World Championship and its holder Cody Rhodes. And this match was full of interesting events, in which we saw the American Nightmare Cody Rhodes retain his championship.
Man, it was some crazy spots. I will say this, man. Me and my boy was talking about this during training the other day. That man, Logan Paul, is earning his stripes, yo. I cannot, like, and I'm already going to spoil it because I already know you're going to have the topic. That dude is already going to be in my top five off rip. I'm just letting you know that right now for this week, because that man there is doing something. Like, it's just something about him. Like, I just don't know, like, what it is. He just has that, like, it factor about him. You know what I mean? Like, because, see, like, who do you know that's doing all these top rope spots, taking a bottle of Prime, drinking it and spitting it out like Triple H, and then jumping on somebody? Like, come on, man. Only Logan Paul would do something like that. Like, you don't see nobody else doing that. So that kind of makes him stand out in a sense.
Definitely. I definitely think, hands down, there's no debate, Logan Paul got to be the best celebrity WWE, you know, superstar in history.
Yeah.
He's taken to the ring like water. Basically, you know, he had the background, wrestling background, you know, when he was in school, but you know, I don't think anybody would have expected this outside of maybe, you know, Logan Paul and his team. But
now, see, this is my thing. Let me talk about celebrity wrestlers. So I would say if Bad Bunny was in the ring as long as Logan Paul's been in the ring, they would be tied up. If not, they'd be, like, right here, like, neck and neck. I'm telling you, because don't sleep on Bad Bunny now. I know we're going off topic, but that dude there, he's something special too. But Logan Paul's had more matches, though, so... And I guess his schedule is more, he's prioritizing the WWE more than, you know, everything else that he's got going on. Which I gotta say, is good for him, though, that he's actually prioritizing and actually is showing up weekly and, you know, like every other week. Like pretty much the latest is like every other week. It's not like he's showing up like once a month or something like that. He's actually showing up, you know.
No, I definitely would have put Bad Bunny in there, but I think he only had, like, what, two or three matches?
Three matches. Yeah. Royal Rumbles. So, I think if you want to count Royal Rumbles, then you have four, I guess.
Yeah, so, like, Bad Bunny definitely up there. Like, he surprised me. Like, I wasn't expecting that. But Logan Paul, he definitely, the man definitely, you know, I can see him as a future world champion. Like, he brings a lot of eyes to the WWE. Like, I think he's really, like you said, he's the rocket fuel you know, to the ship that is WWE that's been taking off lately. And I really believe that, because ever since he showed up full time, like, the numbers don't lie.
Yeah, what they've been saying now, that aura. He got that aura, you know what I mean? That's what he got, right? That's what he got.
Hey, I'm telling you, we are now in the Logan Paul Levesque era, man. I'm trying to tell you.
I'm telling you, every week, every time I see him in the ring, I'm starting to believe it, bro. I ain't even gonna lie.
But we can't forget about, you know, our WWE Undisputed Champion, Cody Rhodes, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Another successful title defense. Where do you see Cody going from here? I know he has a litany of possible contenders. Do you think, you know, he returns to AJ Styles? Somebody else comes out? You know, where does Cody go from here?
I'd say either somebody else or, honestly, a multi-man match. Give him multiple opponents. I know it may be too early to do that, but I can kind of see them doing that for, like, Clash of the Castle, or giving them, like, a contender, someone that's, like, I don't know. You might have to, I don't know, like, that's one thing about Cody's reign. Everybody's a contender. I'm going to keep saying this. Like, everybody's a contender. Like, you know what I mean? You got to take everybody serious at this point. It's not like when Roman Reigns was champ, you had, like, a select few that you think can beat him, that they'll be like, okay, they're going to put this rocket on him and take him there. But now, you got the whole SmackDown roster, almost. You got, like, 80% of the SmackDown roster that can like, potentially take the belt off of Cody or be, like, a contender. I'm not going to say take the belt off of him, but be, like, a contender to his title, you know what I mean? And be, like, a legitimate threat, you know what I mean?
No, I definitely understand, but, I know he just came out of a big story, you know, out of the whole WrestleMania thing, and he's still kind of plugged into the Bloodline story a little bit. But I just would like for him to have a story that'll last through the summer, you know, get us to SummerSlam. You know, who could that be? I don't know. But, you know, something for him so he don't get stale. Because, you know, I feel like it'd be one of those things, like the typical, the road to the big prize is more entertaining than when, like, they actually have a big prize type thing.
Yeah. And this goes to the IWC. Let it marinate, bro. Let it cook. Just chill. Just let it cook. Dude, y'all are taking the food out the oven before it's before it's done. Let it cook, yo. Just chill. I'm pretty sure Paul, Triple H, Levesque knows what he's doing. I'm pretty sure he knows what he's doing at this point. So let it cook, bro. Trust the process.
Speaking of cook, Monday Night Raw. Monday Night Raw. Man,
that right there.
What an episode, man. It started with Drew McIntyre coming out. We got the coronation of the new King of the Ring. Then Damian Priest came out. We don't know if we're getting that out, you know, down the line. Then Drew McIntyre comes out. You know, we got them at Clash at the Castle. We building up that story. But it seems to me like Damian Priest has a bunch of other problems surrounding him. You know, he has this ongoing story with, you know, the Carlito situation. Is he in Judgment Day? Is he not in Judgment Day? Braun Strowman, you know, had a match with JD McDonagh, beat him. JD hits him with the chair. Braun Strowman chasing him around. And during the moments that Braun was chasing him around, JD was talking to Liv Morgan, you know, if he was paying close attention. And we're going to get into a little bit of that later. Also on that night, Chad Gable at it again, calling out all of Alpha Academy, ready to shame Otis. Made him assume the position. He was going to get ready to beat him with the belt. Maxine stopped him. He sent her to the back. You know, told her she only got 3 brain cells. Yeah, that man been on a roll. And then Sami Zayn came out to eventually stop Chad Gable from hitting Otis. And then they had, you know, back and forth words. Sammy trying to convince Otis, you know, to leave the Alpha Academy, leave Chad Gable. And then this turned into a brawl between Chad and Sammy. So it looks like this story is going to continue.
Now I'm going to just say this. Can we appreciate the improvement that Chad Gable's making on the mic? The fact that he's actually putting in an effort, you know what I mean? Like, it's actually not coming off as, like, fake in a sense. Like, his work on the microphone is starting to get more, like believable in a sense, you know what I mean? It's getting there. I'm telling you, these people that haven't really been on the mic like that are starting to cook now. Like, some people want to say, like, even Solo, you know what I mean? People like that are starting to cook on the mic, you know what I mean? So, gotta just get these boys them flowers, you know what I mean? But go ahead.
Will Chad Gable be Intercontinental Champion before the year is over with?
Oh, definitely. 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 Yeah, it's just honestly how they're going to, like, how they're going to just, like, do it story-wise. Like, are they going to have him, like, possibly, is he gonna split from the group first before doing it? Or are they going to, like, come to their senses in a way and just, like, be like, all right, you know what, Chad Gable, you right. And then they just call Sammy the title or something? You never know, honestly.
Said last week, the way I see it, I think Otis and Maxine and Tozawa are going to end up siding with Sami Zayn. And then the Creed brothers and Ivy Nile are going to end up being like Team Gable.
Ooh.
And I think that's what's going to happen. Like, if I
You wanted something right there. You know what? We're going to have to mark you on that one, bro. Because I think that might just come up. That might just happen.
Nah.
Because you said in the segment they was talking to him, huh?
Last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I can see that.
And then, like, a couple weeks ago, he even told Ivy Nile to stop hanging around Maxine. And whenever she's ready to get serious, let him know. So,
yeah.
They definitely planting them seeds.
For sure, for sure.
We also saw a match between Lyra Valkyria and Kairi Sane. Lyra continues, you know, to impress the WWE Universe every time she steps foot in that squared circle.
Definitely.
What do you think her ceiling is?
What do you think her what is?
Ceiling. On the main roster.
Honestly, I could see them possibly putting, and this might be ahead of my time right now, but they might put, you could possibly have an argument of putting the Money in the Bank contract on her. I mean, I wouldn't say this early in her career, though, but she could be in the match. She's definitely going to be in, like, those big matches. I could definitely see in those big matches, like Money in the Bank, Royal Rumble, Elimination Chamber. Also, you're going to see her most likely in those matches right there.
You just sparked the idea in my head, man.
What?
Like, imagine Money in the Bank, Rhea Ripley comes back. On some like Brock Lesnar taking the briefcase from Ali. Cashes it in on Liv.
Oh, dang.
That'll be something.
That'll be crazy right there. That'll be a shocker.
I'm telling you, Shawn Michaels, if you see this, I put in my application to be a writer on NXT, bro. Come get your boy.
Get at that man, bro. Get at this man right here. He got some ideas, yo. And hey, if that don't come to, you know, to reality, hey, you always got, you know what I'm saying? You can write some stuff up for me. You can cook up for me, man.
Watch you to the Wildcat hollering.
All right.
But, yeah, and then we got the revenge match for Rey Mysterio between Rey and Carlito. Finn Balor came out to help. Ultimately, it did not work. Rey ended up beating Carlito. And then after that, they had a brawl. Rey Mysterio, Dragon Lee, Finn Balor, and Carlito. Then Damian Priest ran out, wrecked everybody, and stood tall. And it seems like if Damian Priest wants something done, he got to do it himself. Do you think if Damian Priest has no Judgment Day, will he still be, you know, the interesting/credible champion with no Judgment Day?
Honestly, right now, Damian Priest is at a position where he's got a lot on his plate, like you were saying. He's in a program with Drew McIntyre. He has to worry about his little Judgment Day buddies on this end. Gotta worry about Carlito. Gotta worry about this. Gotta worry about that. Rhea Ripley. Dominic Mysterio. Like, man, it's just a lot on his plate. So, I honestly Like, you can play that in a sense to where, like, it gets too much to the point where he can possibly lose his championship, or just, you know, he just says, you know what, like, screw this, I'm out, and just walks away from it, you know what I mean? So, I don't know. But I do see a potential babyface turn in his, like, in his future. Just a matter of, like, when it's going to happen.
I thought
it was going to happen around Backlash time when they was jumping Jey Uso, and he kind of showed Jey Uso, you know what I'm saying, some mercy, and was like, oh, he's done. So I kind of thought that's them planting the seeds, though. I honestly think the babyface turn is somewhere in this future, like very, very close.
It's so crazy because I don't know if you saw, but after all of this transpired with Carlito and everything, they came back to the locker room. He was highly upset. Like, everybody came back in there, and JD, and like I mentioned earlier, the camera showed JD talking to Liv, and then Damian Priest basically, and why are you, like, he was like, why are you going around talking to Liv? But I don't know if you noticed, but I noticed when he said it, he was talking to JD, but he was looking at Finn.
Yeah.
And I thought that was very interesting because he's not dumb. Like, he knows. So it's going to be interesting to see. I know a lot of people are wanting that program because, you know, a lot of people want to see Finn Balor as a world heavyweight champion. But, you know, Damian Priest got a lot of people to fight off. He got a Braun Strowman problem, Carlito problem, Judgment Day problem, Drew McIntyre problem, and a Gunther problem at the end of all of this. So if he manages to keep his championship through all of that, it'd be a great title reign for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But getting down, one more thing. Bron Breakker is still on a rampage, ladies and gentlemen. He wrecked Ricochet.
Oh, man.
Wrecked Ilya Dragunov. The man can't be stopped. Adam Pearce got a lot of problems on his hand. So that's something to look forward to. And now to the main event, a rematch for the Women's World Championship, but this time in a steel cage where Liv Morgan, your new champion, takes on your former champion, Becky Lynch. And this was a good match, good back and forth, your typical, you know, steel cage match on Monday Night Raw until the ending. Now, at the ending, Mr. I Want to Make It Right, Mr. I Want to Make It Right for Mommy, Dominic Mysterio, came back out there to try to help Becky climb out the cage. And then all of a sudden, you see Finn and JD coming back down. And they're telling Dom, no, like, you know, don't help. And then Braun Strowman music hits. He gets rid of Finn, gets rid of JD, runs all the way around the ring, knocks Dom into the steel cage door that hits Becky in the face, and Liv was able to crawl out the cage and remain your Women's World Champion. And that wasn't all, folks. At the end of the show, before it was all said and done, Liv and Dom locked eyes, and Liv planted a kiss on the face, on the lips of Dominic Mysterio. Mr. Xander, what's your reactions to all of this?
Dom, man.
Somebody pull up the Dolph Ziggler meme.
Man, Nah, bruh. But look, that boy Dominic, man, he got himself in a very sticky situation that's going to be hard to get up out of, man. That's all I got to say, because Rhea Ripley over here watching this, having to see you locking lips with Liv Morgan, her biggest op, bro. Like, come on. It don't get no worse than that. But I will say, Dom did not pull back. And my question is, with the Judgment Day, going back to them, when they came out and saying, don't help, why would they say, don't help?
See, I was just about to ask you that because I saw this theory on Twitter, right? So basically, somebody is of belief that Dom is actually trying to help Rhea. He's just messing up. And then because we saw Liv talking to Finn, and we saw Liv talking to JD that they're actually trying to help Liv, because remember, before Finn joined the Judgment Day and before Rhea and Liv were feuding, it was Finn, Liv, and AJ Styles as a team. Then, when that was happening, Damian Priest and Finn Balor was beating each other up on the weekly. Then they kind of had turmoil when before they became tag team champions. It seems like Finn really wants that World Heavyweight Championship without saying it. He's being a little passive aggressive sometimes. And then JD, Damian Priest never really wanted JD in the group at all. But Rhea said, exactly, Rhea and Finn Balor, you know, eventually was like, yeah, bring him in. So that could be a reason why they plotting against him and Rhea. And nobody ever looked at Finn as the actual leader of the Judgment Day. So that gives him all the more motive as to why he would betray both Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley.
Right.
Dom just being stupid, but now that he kissed Liv, he's going to end up falling for Liv in her trap and end up betraying Mommy in the end. With that theory and all of that being said, do you see it playing out that way?
I know a good way to end this whole feud right here. Liv Morgan versus Rhea Ripley. Custody for Dominic ladder match, bro. There you go. Just book it. Book it, Triple H. Book the match. And honestly, book it at SummerSlam. It'll be full circle. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead and put a trigger circle on that. That would be crazy.
Let Rey Mysterio get involved in everything.
Man, that right there. I don't know how that'll happen, but man.
Nah, if they did that, that would be crazy.
Yeah. That's the fantasy booking though.
For sure. But and that was Monday Night Raw. But you know, we've been giving, you know, Triple H his praises for cooking. But you know who else been cooking? Shawn Michaels.
Yes.
So we said last week Sexy Ray was coming to NXT. She didn't just show up to NXT. She showed out. I'm talking about she almost put my dog Booker T in a coma. But I'm pretty sure Booker T slept on the couch last night. This man was going crazy. And, you know, if you think Sexy Red came and she was acting her normal self, you are completely right. She came out in full effect, twerking, everything. We got the full Sexy Red effect on NXT.
Only thing she did not do is curse.
Yeah.
A lot of people were saying that she was going to slip up, but she didn't. So she handled herself pretty good. Honestly, in my opinion, it turned out pretty well than I expected. I ain't even gonna lie. It turned out real good than I expected. I expected just to be, you know, she was gonna just be starting some stuff and with somebody or whatever, but she came out, she presented the new Women's North American Championship, and then she told everybody she's gonna be the host for NXT Battleground, which that's gonna be pretty interesting right there. Great. I'm pretty sure she's gonna play a part in some story. But yeah, she held her own. I'll say she held herself really, really well. You know what I mean? That just goes to show she's watched like the product before. You know what I mean? It's not just some celebrity that they just got and doesn't watch the product. She actually watches the WWE. You know what I mean? So
she's actually
it flowed.
Yeah, Shawn Michaels fan. I don't know if you saw, but they were in the car singing "Sexy Boy."
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, man, what a time to be a wrestling fan, yo. What a time to be a wrestling fan.
And it didn't just start for NXT there. Roxanne Perez is going to defend her NXT Women's Championship against TNA Knockout champion Jordynne Grace.
Yes. Now,
we saw WWE open the Forbidden Door at the Royal Rumble when they had Naomi come back and Jordynne Grace, you know, who was still the TNA Knockouts Women's Champion then. Do you think more people are going to jump ship over and we're going to see a WWE versus TNA type thing, or is this just a one-off thing?
I could see it. And one of the people that I could see it with, I ain't gonna lie, because he's friends with a lot of people in WWE, and I can kind of see him having like one match with somebody on that NXT card, whether it's Trick Williams or somebody. But Moose, I could see Moose doing something with somebody in NXT. Gotta be. Like, if y'all gonna open up this forbidden door, why not just try out some other stuff? Why not just test out more waters and see, you know what I mean? Like, what you can get out of it. Because it already goes to show, y'all already have a partnership with TNA, which is really dope. And it's crazy because we talked about this back in middle school, that we was hoping that something like this would happen, you know what I mean? And to see this happen years down the line is crazy. It just brings back all the memories, you know what I mean? So it's a good time to be a wrestling fan right now, a real good time to be a wrestling fan.
Definitely. I think it's dope. You know, I saw a comment on Twitter when they were showing everything that happened on NXT with Sexy Red and, you know, TNA wrestlers showing up. And then I get to the next surprise later, but they would say Vince McMahon would be rolling over in his grave right now. I thought that was pretty funny because, you know, he's not the type to work with other promotions. He liked to crush him. So it's pretty cool to see that, you know, Triple H and Shawn Michaels are taking a different approach.
And this is another thing, too, that people sleep on, too, because you never know. Because Jordynne Grace showed up on NXT. Let's stop when Roxanne Perez was showing up on TNA now.
Hey, exactly. That's what I'm looking out for.
That right there would be crazy. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, definitely. If they do that, that'd be cool. We also found out that, you know, Lola Vice and Shayna Baszler is going to be an NXT Underground match at NXT Battleground. Are you hyped for this one?
I don't know how to feel about that whole NXT Underground concept, because it is Raw Underground, like how it used to be with Raw Underground. I was never really a fan of Raw Underground. So I don't really know. Great, you know. So I'm pretty sure it's gonna be good. Like, they're not gonna, you know. I mean, it's two MMA fighters at the end of the day. So
put a positive spin on it. Is they go into, you know, the little UFC arena thing, and they're gonna have two cage fighters in there. So
this is my thing. If both parties agree on it, I wouldn't put. Like a fact over them throwing some like legit punches in there or something, you know what I mean, to make it kind of look like legit, to make people want to really watch it more, because they both MMA fighters, so I'm pretty sure they both know their strengths,
right?
So maybe add a few real jabs in there or something, you know what I mean, to kind of be like, okay, well, they really doing this. So
I definitely think they will, but I definitely think Lola Vice is going to go over no matter what, whether they fake it or they don't. So, but then to cap it off, we, you know, Noam Dar was attacked a couple weeks ago. Mensa was attacked. All these people were attacked, and everybody thought it was Trick Williams. So Lash Legend comes out at the end of the show, confronts him, ask him if he did it, and the lights go off. And wouldn't you know, another person shows up out of nowhere, formerly known as All Ego from All Elite, Mr. Ethan Page, is now in NXT. Were you shocked when you saw him show up on the TV screen?
Now, see, I wasn't shocked when I seen him on the TV screen because I was at training, so I had looked at it on my phone. But, man, I seen that on my feed. I'm like, yo, I know Tony Khan out here swinging at the air right now, bro. He's just losing more and more and more people. My goodness, like, I don't know, man. But hey, that's a good signing, though, for NXT. Ethan Page, hey, he was valid in AEW, you know what I mean? I didn't really follow him, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say I followed him and stuff like that, and looked at his like his whole career and stuff, but I mean, from what I've seen, he valid. So, you know what I mean? That's just, so we just got to see what he brings to NXT.
What I would say, because I watched him when he was at Impact, he has that LA Knight, Ethan Carter III type, he fits in that mold. like that type potential, because like he's definitely more charismatic than like you saw on AEW.
Yeah.
So I think he might really flourish down there, you know, in Orlando, up there in Orlando.
Yeah.
But before I get into, you know, more news, it's being reported that Becky Lynch's contract is up next week. And also Jake Hager from AEW track is going to be up soon. Who's more likely to jump ship, Becky Lynch or Jake Hager?
Jake Hager's contract is up. It's expired. He didn't resign. So, yeah, who knows where he's going to go after this. I mean, maybe MMA. If Triple H has something for him, you could say, like, the WWE. But, like, I don't know. Because they have other stuff besides wrestling in WWE. Not knocking him at all, because Jake Hager is decent. You know what I mean? He was one of the first, you know, surprise signings in AEW. And I was like, snap, in the first ever AEW Dynamite. He was the first signing that they got. The first, like, surprise signing. So, I mean, he still has stuff that he can bring, you know what I mean? So who knows? Wherever he goes, I'm pretty sure he's going to flourish. It's just a matter of just how they use him.
You see Becky flipping?
And Becky Lynch? No. I don't see her flipping at all. I think she just needs the break. It kind of goes in favor with the time right now, because Seth Rollins is out with injury. Becky Lynch's contract expiring. She can use this as a time to get a break and, you know, be a mom. You know, just at the end of the day, and spend more time with her daughter and stuff. You know what I mean? Same with Seth Rollins. So they both gonna be home. You know what I mean? That's just something. I think they should just enjoy that. You know what I mean? Don't rush into coming back, because I'm pretty sure you're always gonna have something there. You know what I mean? Just, you know, heal up. Because I'm pretty sure you a little banged up from all those bumps and stuff you taking. So heal up. And then just come back whenever you're ready to come back.
Most definitely. I agree. She's not going anywhere.
Yep.
Seth just signed his, he just renewed his contract, so she's not going anywhere. She's definitely not going to take a break, but I don't think she's going anywhere.
Right.
But now we're gonna turn into hypocrites. You know, we did an AEW rant 2 weeks ago. I said I didn't watch AEW last week. But I'm not gonna lie, they caught my attention this past weekend with a lot of stuff they had going on. We're gonna get into it. Starting off with like the big news out of that night, the return of MJF, Maxwell Jacob Friedman. He is now back. You know, there was speculation that he left. You know, they took him off the website as an active member of the roster. Well, he ain't going nowhere, ladies and gentlemen. He showed that. You know, he in his Triple H era. What was that? Triple H in 01, 02 when he came back at the Garden? Yeah, he's in his Triple H era. Where do you see, you know, now that he's back, how does this affect the landscape of AEW and wrestling as a whole?
Well, we already know he's going to want his championship back, so I can already see that in his future. AEW World Champion. More than once and twice, I'll tell you that. He's definitely going to hold that championship more than two times in his whole career. If he's going to end up staying in AEW, he's probably going to be that one person that's in AEW. I honestly see him as being that person that's in AEW and does not leave AEW until the ship sails. I don't see him leaving AEW, like, at all. Like, he's, like, because the whole rant he was doing with the bidding war stuff or whatever. Yeah, but as soon as it happened, and you see now that he's signed with them now and staying, that man ain't going nowhere. And the fact that he got a tattoo, he ain't going nowhere. But yeah, I see a lot of good stuff in MJF's future. I mean, at the end of the day, it's MJF. This dude can hold his own. He's done a lot in AEW. For the short time that AEW's been around, he's done a whole lot. You know, so I really could see him, you know, just doing a lot of great things there.
Me too. I remember when they labeled him, Guevara, Darby, and Jack Perry as the four pillars. So I never really saw them going anywhere anyway. And I thought, you know, the whole bidding war 2024, that was obviously a gimmick. And I know a lot of people probably want MJF in WWE, but I don't know. I just feel like he would definitely have to be watered down in a sense. Not completely, but, you know, for the most part, because they do have sponsors and all of that stuff, so he can't just say anything, you know, like he does.
He just can't curse.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure everything that he's saying, it's fine. Like, I don't think he said any, like, a lot of things that's outlandish to where you, like, really have to, like, cut his mic. But, yeah.
I mean, he definitely has the potential.
Oh, yeah.
But, shout out.
Pipe bomb that he dropped when he lost to Wardlow. Yeah, that was. Yeah. Oh, man. That right there. I ain't gonna never forget that promo.
Shout out, and to get well soon to Edge, man. He took a nasty.
Adam Copeland.
Yeah, well, Adam Copeland. always gonna be Edge to me, man. You know, it didn't look good when he came off the top of the cell, but, you know, he had he fractured his tibia, I think. Ooh. So he's gonna be out long time.
I seen how the bump was. I didn't watch pay-per-view live, but yeah. I seen the bump. He just jumped straight down, like, just you jumping off of a cage and just jumping straight down into the ring, just jumping down, landing feet first. He landed feet first. Like, that right there is already scary as it is. That was a nasty bump.
It was a good match, but yeah, that was heartbreaking to see. Shout out to Swerve, man. Still your AEW, you know, world champion. Beating Christian. You know, I'm very happy that, you know, he's the champion, because he was one of my favorites when he was in NXT. So, you know, happy to see his ascension. We also saw Mercedes Moné in her first match win the TBS championship. She also said, you know, this past weekend in an interview that she is the greatest female wrestler of all time. Would you agree with that sentiment?
I mean, winning a championship in your debut is kind of crazy. But, I mean, the work that she's put in, I mean, you can make an argument, you know? You can make an argument, but as of right now, a lot has happened and a lot has changed since the last time she's been in the squared circle. Like I said, you can make an argument that she's the greatest of all time, but that's all I can say. It's an argument, but yeah.
You definitely can, but when you look at, you know, the other people that's potentially on that list,
right. Trish,
Lita, Chyna, Becky, like, you know, that's some Charlotte, those some names you gotta beat out. She's definitely in the conversation, though, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. I ain't taking nothing from her, but yeah, remember, there's more out there, you know.
Most like,
because, I mean, and literally her being injured for that long showed that, you know what I mean? So her saying that was just kind of, it's kind of bold. It's a bold statement, but yeah. Hey, in wrestling, you got to bet on yourself. They tell us that all the time. Bet on yourself. You got to, if you believe that you're the greatest, hey, you believe that you're the greatest, you know what I mean? That's just how it is.
I mean, well, she got the championship now. She got to prove it. That's all. Yeah. But also on that night, we saw the Elite beat Team AEW. Match was crazy. That flamethrower spot was nuts. Darby Allin unleashing a flamethrower on Jack Perry was crazy, but ultimately they got the win. Overall, what did you think of the Double or Nothing pay-per-view? Is AEW back?
Honestly,
well, a lot of people say they never left, but you know.
Well, that opening segment with MJF returning, that just let me know everything that you need to know right there. They're back. MJF's back, they're back. I don't care. Call me a mark. I don't give a damn. IWC, I do not care.
Hey, it's a reason people call it draws. Like, they draw you in. So, if MJF is definitely a draw for them. So
it's a draw.
Ain't mad at it. We're gonna get into our segment, our weekly segment, top five. And I'm not gonna lie, this is gonna be one of the hardest top fives we had to do since we started this thing, man.
Top five, no debating. Top five, top five, top five.
And, you know, being that you are the guest, well, not anymore, you the co-host, but you still gonna go first.
Yeah.
You know, do your thing, take off.
We're going to start doing, how about this? We're going to start doing like a coin toss to see who go first, you know what I mean? Or something like that.
Nah, you say the best for last. All
right. But yeah, so staying on topic, top five. My fifth will have to be MJF. Just the fact, like I said, call me a mark. I don't care. The fact that him coming back, that literally just put him on my list. I don't care because I already know the stuff that they's going to do later on down the line. My reason for watching AEW is back. That's all I'm going to say. Number four, I have to be, Bron Breakker. Number four, Bron Breakker. Because, man, I ain't going to lie, yo. This dude here, I don't know if it's just the fact that he's thinking about Core Jade behind them spears, but, man, oh, man, them spears is devastating like crazy, bro. I would not want to take one of them spears, dog. I ain't going to lie. And now for my top three. Number three. Gotta go with Logan Paul. The match he put on at King and Queen of the Ring. That little... And apparently, I don't know who he spoke. He probably spoke to, like, one of the producers of the match or something. But he came up with that idea with the drone. That drone spot. That was his idea. So that match, yeah, he definitely, you know, he's proven himself every time he's in the ring. So, I'm pretty sure this is, like, the second time Logan Paul's been on my list. So, that's saying something right there. Number two. Alrighty. Number two, I would have to go with, I say everybody, this is a hard list right now. Who I go with number two? Alright, number two, I gotta go with Gunther. Because, you know, the matches that he's been putting on, the match he put on at King of the Ring, it was good. It was good. Number one, this one's going to surprise you, bro. My number one, for obvious reasons, Dominic Mysterio. Dominic Mysterio is my number one pick for the week. Dominic Mysterio. Just the fact that it's just, even when he's injured, bro, his acting and just everything he's doing, his storytelling, all that, it's golden, bro. Like, I don't know whose brain he's been picking with that, but keep doing it, man, because that dude there, he's a good storyteller. I'm going to just say that. He's a good storyteller. And back to what we were saying about draws, years on the line, that man's going to be a draw. He's going to be a draw.
He's definitely a heat magnet right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, now you go.
I'm gonna start off my top five by giving an honorable mention.
Lyra Valkyrie. I forgot the honorable mentions. You know what? I gotta say my honorable mention.
Go ahead.
Because this is something that you didn't mention in the podcast earlier. My honorable mention is coming from NXT. I gotta go with my homegirl, Kalani Jordan. She had advanced to participate in the women's North American Championship match. So I gotta give her flowers right there, but go on.
That was a good match.
Yeah.
Honorable mention, Lyra Valkyria, man. Every time she stepped foot in that ring, she's been putting on bangers. Definitely got my attention. Unfortunately, I couldn't put her in the top five for who I'm about to announce. But top five, I got a shocker. Sexy Red, man. I'm put Sexy Red in there.
Sexy Red.
Red in. I mean, bro, her entrance was electric, bro. I'm not gonna lie.
Like, she almost had a heart attack.
I'm saying, like, her energy carried, like, the whole show in a sense. Like, it was just there. Like, the crowd, get it, sexy. It was turned. So, I definitely think, like, she made a difference. So, that's why, you know, I had to put her in the top five.
And I didn't watch it live. Was that the opening segment?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's definitely why that show felt different. Exactly.
Yeah. But, number four, I'm going to go with MJF. You know, like you said, he's got me invested, man. Like, I love MJF. Like, you know, I wish he had a better run when he was champion. But, you know, hopefully he can get that title back and, you know, right some wrongs. So I'm definitely looking forward to, like, him getting his revenge on Adam Cole and that whole group. And getting
his revenge on Adam Boone.
Yeah. That'll be good. Number three, this guy has been on my list every week since we started. He's not number one, unfortunately, but Gunther, man, our King of the Ring. What can I say? You know, that hasn't been said. The man is a beast in the ring. He does his thing night in and night out. Believable. He definitely, you know, like I said, I think he's the best wrestler in the industry right now. Like, hands down.
There's a debate for that.
Yeah. Number two, I'm going to go with his counterpart in royalty, Queen Nia Jax. She's definitely impressed me. Yeah, that Annihilator got me, bro. I'm not going to lie.
That right there was a shock pick right there.
Yeah,
that's our number two.
Number two.
Yeah, that's a shock pick right there.
Yeah. I don't know. She's just been entertaining like the past couple of weeks, and I just feel like, you know, she's due. She made it to the list this week. And number one, Liv Morgan. Definitely Liv Morgan. Entertaining. You know. Weaving in all these, like, you know, links to the storyline. Won the Women's World Championship. She's on fire right now, man. That's why she's my number one pick. And that has been our top five. Anything you want to say before we head up on out of here?
I got nothing other than the fact that Wildcat Sports has a show this weekend, June 1st. Be there. It's going to be, if you want to get your tickets, go on wildcat.eventbrite.com. You know the whole spiel. I ain't going to say the whole thing. You know what I mean? Just know, Alan's in. Ain't going to say the whole spiel. That's it.
Yes, sir. This has been another week of wrestling. We'll see you guys next week, and we out.
Peace.